Hello, friends. Benny Pruto here with a lesson from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. I call the lesson the two seeds. The idea of the two seeds comes from Genesis chapter 3 and verse 5, where God speaks to the serpent and says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed." God is speaking about the children of God, his own children, and the children of the devil. The text before us in 1 John chapter 3 also speaks about the children of God and the children of the devil. I have the main lesson of the text on the whiteboard in front of us. The main lesson falls into two parts, a positive section and a negative section. The positive part of the main lesson has an if-then clause, and the negative side of the main lesson has an if-then clause. If you sincerely hope in Christ, purify yourself, and practice righteousness, then you are a deeply loved, born-again child of God. But, we could interject a but here, but if you hate the righteous and practice sin and lawlessness, then you are very likely a Cain-like, worldly child of the devil. You see, we're speaking about the children of God and the children of the devil, and how you ascertain the difference. You notice I also have the word practice underlined in this main lesson. The first part of the lesson speaks about the practice of righteousness. And this means that your heart is inclined toward God, that your disposition, your attitude is that of a Christian. You are inclined toward God, and so you practice that which is righteous. This does not exclude occasional sin. On the other hand, the child of the devil practices sin and lawlessness. This means the inclination of the heart, the disposition and the attitude are inclined toward evil, and hence the practice of sin and lawlessness. This does not exclude the occasional outcropping of righteous acts and righteous deeds. The emphasis in the text is on practice, and we need to be discerning in this regard. Let's briefly go through the text now and see how this main lesson emerges. Verse 1, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called the children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know him." We are called the children of God, and John is affirming that this is the case. In justification, we are declared righteous. That is, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. And in adoption, we are called, that is, we are declared children of the living God. This is a legal act of God, and we are brought legally into his family. For this reason, the world does not know us. We have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the world does not know us because the world does not know him. The world does not have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Verse 2, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is." When Christ comes a second time in glory, we will be transformed into his image. And it does not yet appear in this life what we will be in the life to come. We are moving toward, inexorably toward, that transformation of image in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, "And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. In other words, if you have the hope of being like Christ when he comes a second time in glory and being transformed by him into his image, you take action now with regard to that future hope, and you purify yourself, even as he himself is pure. You want to be like him, in other words. And so when you sin, you seek God's forgiveness. You confess your sins, and you trust that God will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you seek to follow God's commandments. You seek to be like Jesus Christ. Verse 4, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Here's the idea of practice again. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. The idea of practice comes from the present tense in the verbs in this verse. The idea of repeatedly carrying out the action of sin. It's not just occasional sin. It's just not one-time sin that John is speaking about. But he's speaking about habitual sin. And, of course, this comes from a heart which is inclined toward evil. And what is sin? Sin is lawlessness. Sin is the violation of the law of God, the violation of the moral stipulations God has set forth. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. Violating these commandments is sin. And you must tell the truth. You must be a truthful, faithful person. The one who practices lawlessness practices sin. And verse 5 says, you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. Jesus Christ came into the world to take away sin. He did so by, first of all, living an absolutely righteous life, and then becoming a perfect sacrifice for sin. He's the propitiation for our sins, as we've already seen in chapter 2. And as a result, he takes the wrath of God and the punishment for sin, which is due to us. So he takes away the punishment due to us for sin. And he also cleanses us from sin as we seek forgiveness, and we seek him by the power of his Spirit to sanctify us and to change us from moment to moment. Verse 6, no one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. This is the verse around which our text swings. No one, John says, who abides in him, who is connected to him, who is united to God through Jesus Christ, sins, that is, practices sin. Why? Because you've been born again. You have God's Spirit within you. You are inclined toward righteousness. And the evidence of this is your new practice. And John says, no one who sins has seen him or knows him. If you have really seen Jesus Christ in Scripture, if you have really seen Jesus Christ through the illumination of the Holy Spirit in your heart, and that Spirit illuminating the story of Christ in the Scriptures and uniting you to Jesus Christ, you do not sin. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. You see, you cannot practice sin and say that you know God through Jesus Christ. Verse 7, little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Don't be deceived concerning the two seeds. There's no middle ground here. There's no neutral territory. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous. If God has come to you, and you are indeed his child, and you are justified by grace through faith, your life has been changed. And so, the new inclination of your heart crops out in the practice of that which is right and good. This does not exclude occasional sin. When you sin, you flee to Christ and you beg his forgiveness and you receive cleansing. And so John says, the one who practices sin is of the devil, and the devil has sinned from the beginning. Yes, this is indeed the case. Everyone who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for the purpose to destroy the works of the devil. Yes, the one who practices sin and is not justified before God, is not a child of God, but is a child of the devil. The one who practices sin shows that he or she is a child of the devil. Verse 9, no one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. No one who is born of God practices sin. No one who is born of God practices sin. Think about that. There's a relationship between the new birth and failure to practice sin. And so if you're genuinely born again, you do not practice sin. What do? You seek to purify yourself as he is pure, and you seek to live a life in conformity to the commandments of God. And remember, the commandments of God are summarized in these two great commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and your neighbor as yourself. Verse 9 again. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, that is, the Holy Spirit. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. That is, he cannot practice sin. It doesn't mean that sin is excluded. There's not a doctrine of perfectionism that is set forth here. Remember, it's the idea of practice that the text emphasizes. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, and the one who does not love his brother. You see again the idea of the practice of that which is right. Verse 11, this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one, and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil, and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. The example of the children of the devil that John now gives is Cain. Cain who hated his brother. And for what reason did he hate his brother? Because his brother's deeds were righteous. In other words, his brother was born again. And because he was born again, he sought to do that which was good and right and true. He sought to follow the commandments of God. And Cain, on the other hand, hated his brother. And this hatred, as we've seen in past lessons, is incipient murder. And so Cain murdered his brother. Cain was of the world. And you should therefore not be surprised if the world hates you. the two seeds, the seed of the woman, the children of God, and the seed of the devil, or those who are in the world. They are in opposition to one another. And you must learn discernment. And part of the discernment is whether or not you practice sin or you practice righteousness. Let's go back to the main lesson of our text. If you sincerely hope in Christ, purify yourself and practice righteousness, then you are a deeply loved, born again child of God. Here is your assurance of salvation. You see, it's bound up in how you live, and how you live manifests who you are, whether or not you are a child of God or a child of the devil. If you hate the righteous, like Cain, if you hate the righteous and practice sin and lawlessness, then you are very likely a Cain-like, worldly child of the devil. And if this is the case, you need to seek the Lord while he may be found, and turn to Jesus Christ, and trust Jesus Christ as the one who bore the penalty for your sins on the cross, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. On the other hand, if you sincerely hope in Christ and purify yourself and practice righteousness, then this is an evidence of the fact you are a deeply loved, born-again child of the living God. What a wonderful thing this is. And this is, dear friends, your assurance of salvation. You see, the text bolsters John's primary purpose in this little tract or sermon, assurance of salvation. Thanks for listening.